The WebKit IP leak story deserves more attention than its comment count suggests. Maisk, the iOS security research blog, found and documented a situation where WebKit, which is the rendering engine underlying Safari and all browser apps on iOS, was leaking real IP addresses and DNS queries even for users with VPN or proxy configurations active, and even for users specifically relying on Apple's iCloud Private Relay privacy service.
Let me make sure listeners understand what iCloud Private Relay is, because Apple has marketed it as a meaningful privacy feature. The design intent is that your network traffic exits Apple's servers through a relay such that your IP address is hidden from the websites you visit and your browsing habits are hidden from Apple. It's a two-hop architecture that in theory gives neither Apple nor the destination site a complete picture. The leak that Misk found means that actual IP addresses were observable in certain conditions, which breaks the fundamental premise of what users were paying for.
The HN comments were sharp about the technical specifics here. The leak vector involves WebKit making network requests, in some cases for preloading or speculative fetching, that bypass the proxy or relay configuration. It's not that the VPN wasn't working. It's that the browser was making certain connections outside the VPN tunnel before the tunnel was consulted. This is a class of bug that has appeared in multiple browsers across multiple years, and it's genuinely difficult to close completely because browsers are complex enough that the surface for proxy bypass is large.
From a consumer trust standpoint, the damage is disproportionate. Apple has positioned privacy as a core brand value and a commercial differentiator. What happens on your iPhone stays on your iPhone is not just a slogan, it's been a sales argument. A leak that specifically affects iCloud Private Relay, a paid privacy feature that users explicitly enable because they want protection, is a particularly bad look.
There's also an implication for proxy-based browser privacy tools more broadly. The Musk post explicitly mentions proxy browsers, apps that route traffic through a privacy proxy as their core feature. If WebKit bypasses those proxy configurations, the products don't work as described, and the developers of those apps may not even know their protection is incomplete.
The Rio Terminal story is a different flavor of developer tool news, but genuinely notable for a different reason. Rio is a terminal emulator that's been building a reputation for being fast and modern, and they've now extracted their core terminal engine, the VT parsing and rendering layer, into standalone libraries called Rio VT and Librio that other projects can embed. This is the kind of architectural decision that transforms a product into a platform.
Right. And the HN community appreciates this pattern because it's happened before with enormous effect. The way LibVT became a shared rendering core for GNOME-based terminals, or the way Alacrity's performance work influenced how the whole space thought about GPU-accelerated rendering, this kind of factoring out tends to raise the floor for everyone. If Librio gets adopted in editors or IDEs or web-based terminal emulators, the performance and compatibility improvements compound across many projects simultaneously.
The CSS centering piece is the most traffic it'll ever get, and deservedly so. The piece is about a genuine tension in web development. The community spent years converging on reliable flexbox and grid techniques for centering elements, and now browser sidebars, the built-in AI assistants and reading mode panels appearing in Chrome, Firefox, and Edge, are introducing a new layer of layout complexity that breaks assumptions about viewport width and document centering.
The technical specifics are that browsers are starting to expose sidebar dimensions through new CSS environment variables. But the adoption is inconsistent, and the default behaviors vary. So a layout that centers correctly in one browser configuration looks off in another, and the developer has no clean way to detect and compensate for all the variants without either writing a lot of conditional CSS or waiting for the standards to catch up with implementation.
The comment thread was full of the particular brand of weary humor that web developers have developed over 20 years of fighting layout edge cases. Someone posted a timeline of CSS centering techniques from table-based hacks through absolute positioning tricks through flexbox through grid, and the progression is genuinely funny if you've lived through any of it.
The DuckDB enclosure piece is worth a quick mention because it represents something broader. DuckDB has become one of the most beloved pieces of infrastructure in the data engineering community over the last 3 years. It's a high-performance analytical database that runs entirely in process, no separate server, with a SQL interface that handles columnar data efficiently. The Clojure integration being surfaced now, it's a 2023 piece that's recirculating, shows how DuckDB has spread across language ecosystems. The data power tools for your laptop framing is accurate. You can now run analytical queries on gigabyte-scale datasets on a standard laptop without spinning up cloud infrastructure.
DuckDB is also an interesting open-source sustainability story. It came out of a university research project in the Netherlands, grew a dedicated foundation, and has managed to build a commercial ecosystem around it without compromising the core open-source license. It's the kind of example that gives open-source advocates a counter-argument to the "you can't build a business on a permissive license" claim.
Speaking of novel approaches to computing, the Video2NAND story is pure HN catnip. Someone discovered that VP8 video codec processing has enough combinatorial logical structure that you can abuse it as a general-purpose computational substrate. The post demonstrates implementing actual logic gates inside the video decoding pipeline. It's not useful in any practical sense. The throughput is terrible, and the setup is elaborate. But as a demonstration of how computation can emerge in unexpected places, it's genuinely creative work.
This is the kind of project that HN loves because it's both technically impressive and completely impractical, which is sometimes the most honest form of engineering exploration.